This morning I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, and we'll spill into chapter 12, verse 3. Hebrews 11, 32-12:3. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released, so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute and persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Well, we have a rare privilege today. As we already mentioned, and I've already mentioned, that we do have a missionary couple with us. We support Marek and Julie Hanchik, who are serving in the Czech Republic doing church planting. They teach English classes there. They work with Word of Life camps, I believe, there, do some work with a camp there in the Czech Republic. I'm sure Marek's going to share a little bit about his ministry. I put some of the PowerPoint into our PowerPoint, so I saw a bunch of pictures. So they're going to be sharing with us from the Word. Their children are with them, I believe downstairs, all of them, but twin boys, Luke and Henry, and then Ruby, daughter, oldest daughter. So hopefully you'll get a chance to meet them, talk with them. We only get a chance to see them every 3 to 4, I think it was 3 years ago or 4 years ago, 4 years ago, that they come back to the States and are able to travel around and visit supporting churches. So privilege to have them here today, so I'm going to invite Marek to come at this time to share history with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having us, and it is a privilege to be in a with you in a church and worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. I will start with some pictures and presentation about our ministry, because sometimes when I start speaking, you know, it goes for hours and I would never get to the pictures. But today there will be closure, because there was promise for some luncheon after that. So I have small breakfast, so I will be forced to. And on time. Yeah, I need to have my phone. There was the fleshly help there. There used to be clock. I heard it's taken down, so I will use the, so I can see what time it is. So I have precisely 25 minutes. Okay, so this, when I push it will move?
Yeah, the forward arrow should do it.
Forward arrow is, which one? I see the side arrows, and then there is little red thing.
That one should.
Yeah, that one, yeah, that's the right. So everything is blue in Czech. Yeah, so that's us, our family. This is not really updated picture. We have the updated picture back, but we like this one. We were younger and full of strength and all that. That was those 4 years ago, I believe. So you see, we have Ruby. That's our oldest daughter. She's 11. There is that little writing about that. And we have twin boys. Twin boys, Henry and Luke. And there is prayer request right at the beginning. What they didn't teach me at Moody was that when you are planting a church, you actually don't have a church. You are the church. And our church is grew from just our family and some few other people who join us in the vision to plant a church to almost 30 people, but we still don't have really Sunday school. My boys are the only Christians in their school in the whole town. That's our prayer request, that you would be praying for our family, for our kids, that they would grow in the Lord. It's kind of harder when they don't have older examples, like their friends who would be a few years older and who would be following Jesus. So we really appreciate just traveling around, that they can be in different places and meeting some other Christians' friends, and they see they are not the only one. They are not those weirdos, you know, who have their father is pastor and planting a church, and they are half American, half Czech, and they are the only Christian. So it's sometimes hard on that, and we are really praying for them. So if you could join us in that, we would really appreciate it. So this is a map of Czech Republic. It's really small. I don't know, probably three at least Czech Republics would fit in New York State. There is only 10.5 million people who live in Czech Republic. We are basically east of Germany and north of Austria. That's probably the countries you recognize. And east of us used to be Slovak. So it used to be Czechoslovakia. Now the Slovak is independent state. There is no border because the European Union, which we are part of, don't have borders. So you can wander back and forth freely. There will be a map of Europe, which here is the picture. Czech Republic, as you can see. Sometimes it's said that Czech Republic is part of the Eastern Europe. We like to say that we are in the heart of Europe, because we are in the middle, you know, and many things happen in Czech Republic, kind of and around, so we try to make ourselves a little more important. Out of those 10 million people, there is just a few other nationalities. Basically, almost all Czechs are Czech, those privileged Czech white ones. And you can see the history in the back. The Czech kingdom started more than 1,000 years ago. So there are many castles. If you go to Czech Republic, I will just show you a few pictures. These are little towns. The before was a Gothic castle. This is a Renaissance little town. We don't wear those. They're just on special occasions, you know, like when there is some festivities, they have them folded somewhere for a whole year and they pull them out. But in the past, there was probably more occasions to wear them, and people like to, every village and every town had different style and colors. So there is some ruin on a cliff. So we have really nice countryside as well. This is Karlsbad, maybe you know, that's a spa town, just close to Pilsner, close to Germany. We have beautiful forests as well, and we put that picture there. You don't see anybody, but if you would see somebody, they would be probably walking like this and looking down all the time. We do pick mushrooms in Czech Republic. We actually had some mushrooms yesterday. We went to Rocky Mountain, and on the way, we picked a few mushrooms. So I bought a big onion in a grocery store and we made a little mushroom goulash. It's not goulash, but it's mushroom something. And it was good, and we are here, you see. So it really happens every year, few people die because they pick the wrong ones. And that keeps the number around 10 million even. So here are some people in our nation. So this is little culture, and this is Prague. Maybe you know this is a Charles Bridge across Moldau River. Above that is St. Vit Cathedral and the castle of the where the president lives right now. So if you go to Czech, you usually visit Prague. So that would be the view you would get. Few information points about Czech Republic. You can maybe read it for yourself. You see it better than I do from here. But the history is not about just big structures and nice countryside, but it's also about the history how Czech people received the gospel. It was actually unique because originally the at that time they were still called Moravia. I'm from Moravia. Czech is made out of Bohemia and Moravia. Used to be more, but that was taken from us. At the beginning of the Czech history, the Moravia was the more important part before the Hungarians came by, and they kind of fight the Moravians, and they were stronger, so they beat us down, and eventually the Bohemians took over the Moravia, so we are just part of Czech Republic. But that was the time when we received the gospel. The Moravian king asked the Pope, and he said, you have those German priests, that's enough. So they turned to the east and asked the guy, the Caesar in Constantinople at that time, and he sent two guys from Thessalonica to Czech Republic. And they knew, because in Thessalonica area there were many Slavic people living there, so they actually, before they came, they learned the language of the Slavic people, and they developed based on Greek writings and translated the gospel. So when they came, they had written gospels in Cyrillic and shared the gospel in a way that people could understand. And that's how Czechs in 863 or 62 received the gospel. It worked for half a century, and eventually they were kicked by the Latin-speaking church, and they took over. So we are part of the Western Latin-speaking church right now, but those priests took their books and writings, and they went down to Bulgaria and Romania. That's why they use still some of them Cyrillic, and they, where they survived. You probably read about John Huss, but I will move further. The lunch is here. So there are some informations about, or points about Czech Republic today. In the last census, 2011, there was only 11% of people wrote down on their paper they believe in God, that they are religious in any way. That counts Muslims and all other religions. Majority, big majority, basically 90% are Catholics. And really small fraction, probably less than 1%, are evangelic churches, Bible preaching churches. So that's why we are in a small town of Tishnov, 10,000 people, but our kids are pretty much the only Christians there. There are some Catholics there, especially the older people still go to the Catholic church, but they don't meet many believers or Christians like us in church at all. Czech economy is doing very good. We are one of the fastest economy growing in the European Union. You are ahead of us, I believe, but that's positive news, except that people now are having lots of money and they are able to have things which they were not able. When I was growing up, it was still part of the Russian Soviet Union power block, and people couldn't travel. Everything was just, you could buy one kind of bread and one kind of flour in a store, and there were not many options. We were doing reasonably good, but you was kind of limited. So now people can buy expensive cars, and they are building bigger and bigger houses. They can have big gardens. They can travel around the world. And that's what's taking their time and interest away from hearing the gospel. So it's really, we need to be very creative and really make friendships and get closer to people so we are able to reach them with the gospel. So if you can pray also that God will open the door. It's similar like here, nothing unique about that in Czech Republic, but it's probably people are really materialistic right now because they have something which they couldn't have before. So we are serving a little town of Tishnov. I mentioned 10,000 people. There is another 10,000 people living around in small towns and villages. So that's the community we are trying to reach. It's close to capital of Moravia, Brno, of 400,000 people, probably half an hour away. This is a picture from, I believe, from the watchtower, which is on a hill above that town. And there is no other church except the Catholic church in the middle of the town. This is a couple, Julian and Esther. They have one more girl right now. They join us from the beginning to help us to plan a church in that town. He is a musician. He plays the viola for the main orchestra in Brno. So he's helping us with his talents and worship in church as well. So there are a few outreaches. We are trying to penetrate the culture and the society and the village and town, how to reach people. So it's written down. I believe you can read it. So we will have a few pictures to illustrate those. We were meeting for 5 years in a village we live, and then we start meeting in downtown Tishnov in a family centrum for last 2 years. It's actually kind of like addition, which is a small gym where the kids play during the week, but Sunday morning everybody's in the bed, nobody goes out, so it's available, and we are able to meet in there. So that's the place we are using right now. And when everybody comes, counting the kids, we are probably around 30 people. Julie, my wife, is the true missionary. She had to learn the language and the culture and how to live with Czech husband and raised up half Czech kids and all that. So she is the one being heavily involved in the ministry. You can pray for her. And we have really strong women outreaches and strong believers, Christians, ladies in our church. So they are meeting monthly. They are having our retreats in different places. So that's what we are doing. And also out of that, this is one of the places where they went for a few days over a weekend to spend together to pray and do other things. And there will be another picture later that because of that, they also do crafts evenings. So they are talented and the ladies come together, they talk, do something with their hands, but they are able through that share the gospel. Youth group, I will talk more about it later, so I will just kind of point what it is. We are working along with youth with Word of Life. We did some summer camps. I will go back to it. I just kind of put it wrongly for myself. Julian is a musician, so we do some concerts. He plays music, invites his friends, and because most of the music is based on or made by Christian composers or based some on a theme from a Bible, it's easy to pick up some theme and for me to share in the middle of it, 10 minutes, tell the gospel. So that's one of the outreaches through the music. Here are the crafts evenings I was mentioning. I need to reorganize it, I guess, a little bit. So that's how it looks. People come and they share their talents. So this is the English. And Anuth, but you would like to talk more. One of the great tools for Czechs is to use English. I mean, everybody wants to learn. When I was growing up, I was learning Russian because I'm part of the Russia influence, and then I was studying German language because I was studying history later on, and so that was useful. So I actually learned English when I came here to the United States when I was already 20, and I was working in Arizona in greenhouse along with Mexicans, and I was planting with different plants. I was listening Family Life radio there, so I was listening, and I didn't understand a lot. I was just barely catching it, but I remember he heard a few words. I wrote them down. Then I came home. I found just half of them in a dictionary, the rest because you pronounce and write differently. That was hard. And that way, in a half year, I was able to understand what's going on. And so basically, I learned it here, the English. But now in Czech, the English is the main taught language. So we decided to do the English days, different activities. And in last 3 years, we were able, with the help of a church from Wisconsin, La Crosse, Wisconsin, to do English camps. And we are doing English day camp. It is only 5 days a week, Monday, Friday, and it helps us in many ways. The day camp, because it's day camp, they come in the morning, leave in the evening or afternoon. It's cheaper, so everybody can afford it. It's easier for me because I don't want to watch unbelieving teenagers overnight. I don't know how you would control it. And also, it helps us to reach the people we can stay in touch for the rest of the year. So because it's day camp, the people live around. We are not getting visitors from Prague or other places we would never see again. And out of those three camps, which we already did, we started a Wednesday regular youth group meeting. So it's actually kids club or youth club with the help of English-speaking missionaries from Word of Life, which has the camp nearby, just like 20 minutes away from us. And the parents send their kids, maybe they force some of them, to go there because they will hear the native speakers in English. The kids come because they like it, they have friends, it's fun, they play games, and we use it to share the gospel. So they are memorizing verses in English, and they get some candy bar for that, and we play different games, and pass the love of God on them. So they are coming. We so far have around 8-10 young people who are coming pretty much regularly. So these are pictures from some of the activities we did with them. It's English Day. And I will have more pictures from it later. We have a good news that one of the boys accepted Jesus just this summer. He didn't come for our English camp because we didn't do any this summer, we left. But he went for Word of Life camp, and he was coming for regularly for 2 years to all the activities we were doing around English. He speaks well English, he learned it from YouTube. So you don't have to work in a greenhouse, you can just be by a computer. And this summer, we just received a message. He called Julie and said, "Julie, I trust Jesus. It's a great commitment. I made Anne cry." That's his counselor. He's 12 years old. He lives only with his mom. She's not Christian. She actually told him if we were only praying and reading Bible, she wouldn't send him. But now we have him as a fresh new believer. So we are praying, and you can pray with us to make connections, to be able to grow his faith and maybe to reach even his mom and some of the other friends he's bringing to our youth group. Another opportunity which God used was the local library, where I was able to share. It was interesting as well, because these are the teams I was able to teach. One, libraries like here are not just for borrowing book, but they do some activities around that. And one of them was like, they called it University of Free Time, so additional education. They do seminars, and one lady from our church was attending those, and she asked me if I would be interested to teach some Bible-based seminars. So I went to the director and tell her I would teach intro to the Bible, how the Bible came together, what it is. And she said, that would be great, but she doesn't know how many people would be interested. So she said she made advertisement like she does for the other seminars during the year, and she said, if we have 25 people, we will open the class. And in 2 weeks, she had 40 people who signed for it. So she had to move the tables out of the room to get more chairs there. And at the end, she was able to fit 48 people. So we started with 48 people who were coming for 8 sessions, hour and a half each, bi-weekly, for, I guess it was fall semester. And she told me, don't worry, usually they drop in half after a few meetings. They never dropped under 40, so it was pretty much packed. I was able to give each of them Bible, and I said, this is not a religious book. This is our teaching material, study material. We have to bring it every time. You will be underlying. I will be giving homeworks from it. So basically when, and then those are the other subjects I was able to teach after that. So there was actually 8 seminars, almost 4 years I was doing that. So it looked like in a church. Everybody was sitting there, having the Bibles on their laps, taking notes, and it was actually better because it lasted hour and a half and nobody left. Everybody was writing down. In a church, you don't get that. So that's why I did it for 4 years. That was great. So that's just pictures from that. You see how they are. No, they are. They were really interested because during the communist time, mainly older people who have more time, so they get there. And during the communist time, they were not able to hear anything like that. So they were interested about church history and about the Bible. So it was something new to them. These are some info about mission teams which join us in our work. So it's not just us doing all the work. God is sending other co-workers. Here are some more pictures of the youth activities we do. And this is just the end of my presentation. We have more pictures, but I would like to open the Bible, so I will probably check on this machine. Got a few minutes. Last, mentioning about the church, good news. Last time we came, 4 years ago, we canceled the church for the summer, because there were just a few of us, and we figured out we were not able to sustain it through the summer, so we just decided there will be no church in summer. This year, or this summer, the church is happening. They just met 7 hours ahead of us. We are ahead of us. So the men in the church are able to open the Bible and share from it and teach the Word of God, and the worship group arrange it when somebody is on vacation, that somebody will be always there. So the church is running. So that's kind of, for us, really encouraging and great news that the church not only grew from just few people to 30 people, but also that it's able to be there without us. So maybe we will stay longer, I am guessing, thinking. So we will see. So that's the plan. Before we started the church, I was studying many books about church planting and how church should look like. And I am from a kind of brethren church at home. So that was one of my examples. But it's also good to read a book of Acts, because there were many churches planted by Paul. And one of the great, maybe greatest example of a church is Church of Ephesus. Because that church, Paul spent the longest time he ever spent in one place, he spent in Ephesus, I guess, over 3 years. And not only Paul was a strong Christian who was teaching there, but there was after him Timothy, because he was staying there, and other strong believers like Apollo. And at the end, definitely, there was Apostle John. He was actually then put in prison into the island nearby, the island of Patmos. So there were many strong leaders who were influencing and building the church. And also most of the letters in the Bible were written to this place. I mean, most of them, the other places compared to it. Because we have a letter to Ephesus from Paul. Then we have 2 letters to Timothy, who was in Ephesus at the time. So it was written, the address was Timothy, but in Ephesus. And then John was there, so he was writing his epistles, probably from there, maybe for them, but they were the first ones reading it, probably. And Jesus sent 1 letter to Church of Ephesus when he was writing in the book of Revelation, the 2nd and 3rd chapter. So that was one of the churches I was really looking into, how I would like our church to look like and behave and be strong in. And I was reading about the church in the book of Revelation, and there are many strong points the church had. They have strong theology, they were faithful, they were serving, they were willing to suffer through persecution. They were known around, they were not just closed place. But they have one thing which was missing. You probably all know it, but they were missing, or they lost first love. And that's kind of scary, because that's one of the big words in the Bible, love. And I was looking what it means and what to do that we wouldn't be and end it like them. It was a warning for us. And when I was reading, most of the time it was emphasized that the first love is the love you had at first. That's kind of come pretty much naturally. When you receive Jesus in your heart, the first days, first year, when you was everything was new for you, the church, the Bible, you was opening, everything was speaking, you was full of joy, passion, excitement, or the theology you was learning, it was fresh, new, nothing boring. You actually was coming, going probably to church and waiting for Sundays to come so you can learn more. But then, when I was thinking about it again and reading through the scripture, I found out that's not the first love John is talking about or Bible is talking about. Because John in a first epistle wrote this. He's saying, John 4:10, love is this, or love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to die for us. And then at the end of the chapter, he's saying, we love because he first loved us. So when John is speaking about first love, he's speaking of the love God had for us. Our love is always secondary. And that's really important to remember. So the first love they forgot is that God is loving them. And once you forget that, and what gets more important and gets priority is our expression of love for him, then it gets turned around. Like if you make, if you read this and you think, okay, what is missing is the passion for Jesus I had at first. What is missing is what I used to do first and all. Then the pressure is, okay, I need to work on myself. I need to work harder. I need to go to the conferences. I need to maybe sing some songs more often or louder in a church. Maybe I should my quiet time should be 5 minutes longer. And then you are thinking how you can improve and grow in your love. You will never grow in your love if you don't remember that you was loved first before you did anything like that. When you were still sinner, when you were still not knowing anything, you didn't do anything big, you was already loved. And that's what is the first, what is the most important, and we should never forget. Also, if you want to go to the first love, I don't know how it's with you, but you, when you had the first love about Jesus, it was many misconceptions. You didn't know much. It was kind of like most of it coming from you, and then it was learning. So we don't really want to go to the first love. We want to go to the mature love, the love which was growing. So even that is kind of interesting. Doesn't mean wrong to be full of passion, and it was nice at the beginning, but the love grows as well. And a second point, and which I want to turn to another book of Hebrew, which we were reading this morning from, and that was the book we were studying last half a year in our church, book of Hebrew, is if you make our love not secondary, because God loves us, so we love God, but if you make our love first, then you are self-oriented. So not only you are working works to make yourself be loving, but then the focus is not on God, but is on you, if God is not the first. And that's what the book of Hebrew is teaching. Book of Hebrew is a hard book. Many people hesitate to teach from it because there are some passages which kind of question our faith and our standing and different sins and falling away and sliding. So it's in some passages, chapters 3, 4, 6, 10, are kind of scary, so people try sometimes avoid that. And also it's a little distant from us because it's book of Hebrews. We don't know who really wrote it. Some people think Paul, some people think Apollo and other. There are many, many options. What is clear that it was written by God. There is a few times written that Holy Spirit said. But what is also clear is that it was most probably clear, written to Christians with Jewish heritage, believers from Jews. So it's talking about Jewish history. It's talking about temple. It's talking about Levites, the priests, and all that which was well known by the Sunday school attending kids who were Jews. But for us, sometimes it's the Old Testament, and that's not so fresh always on our mind. But what But it still has strong applications for us. We were living out of this book, our church, for half a year. And the verse I want to mention is verse 12. We already read it, and I will read it again. The verse 12, chapter 12, verse 2. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. So the emphasis is look at Jesus. Don't lose the sight of Jesus. Keep your eye on Jesus. And he's doing it through the whole book. He's just saying Jesus is better, and he's basically showing that Jesus is better than anything else. Jesus is better than angels because he is Son of God. Jesus is better than Moses because he was just servant and he is the Lord. Jesus is better than Aaron because he was born in some lineage and he had to be follow all the rules, and he was positioned there as a servant as well. But Jesus is eternal priest. He is the one who is according to the rule of Melchizedek, the line of Melchizedek, instead of just Levi and Aaron. And he sacrificed not just the burnt offerings and all the things which need to be repeated, but he sacrificed once for all himself with the eternal effect for us. So he's showing that Jesus is better than anything in the world. And he's telling it to the Jewish believers because, and it's even sometimes for us, I mean, if somebody likes music, it's better to go to the temple than a house church. If you are artistic, I mean what the Herod built and all those nice columns and everything, you can worship God much better in a temple or maybe nice synagogue than in a house hidden somewhere. You would get professional preachers. You would get much better educated rabbi than somebody who just converted and is claiming that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised Messiah. But that's not true, because if you are still looking around, you are losing from sight what is the most important, and that's Jesus. So we should keep our sight on Jesus, and that's what we are trying to do in Czech Republic. People see all these great things they can have, vacations, new computers and great movies and screens bigger and bigger all the time, and houses and what they are growing on garden and what they are talking about, how this time the garlic grew and how the strawberries are doing this year. What Hebrew is saying nothing is better than looking at Jesus and knowing Jesus and knowing that we are loved by him. And because of that, we don't have to struggle in our faith. Sometimes the Christians hear the gospel, but they pretty much live, and that's what's the understanding in Czech Republic as well. When you say you are a Christian, people imagine the church, the steeple, and the Catholic people going there, some elderly sometimes, and the bell which is ringing, and they know a little bit about the last rite, and there's those different sacraments which are happening. But it's cyclical. Let's go around. You sin, you have to go and go to the priest and repent. Then he gives you some penance. I don't know all these words, so sorry for that. And then you can come again to receive the Holy Communion and receive the life through it again. And it's all cyclical. But the book of Hebrew is saying, don't do that again. Don't go back, because all those offerings of animals, they were not helping. They were just a reminder of the sin. They remind you again, you need to be forgiven, you need to be cleansed, because you are a sinner. And again, there was never end to it till Jesus came. And there was one sacrifice which took care of all of it. So Christian's life is not, I'm doing great today with Jesus, but tomorrow, oh, I fell again, now I have to repent and have to go through the cycle, and maybe it takes little time before I feel comfortable with God again. I maybe need to improve on myself, maybe I need to repent a little longer to feel the shame, and so God knows that I am really sincere. Christianity doesn't work that way. Christianity means Jesus died for us once for all. He opened the door to the presence of God. We can always come. And when we fall, we can worship and say, Jesus, it's not about me. It's about you. You died for my sin. I'm still a sinner. That's what I said at the beginning. When I became Christian, what it means? I just said, I am the worst of the worst, like Paul said, because I cannot make it myself. I cannot get better, and I know it already, even if I had another 100 years. I am admitting it, and I need help. I need Jesus. I cannot do it on my own. And I am dying, and who lives right now is Jesus, not me. So when I sin, it shouldn't be about me now. It's about him. And he died for that sin. He said he will never remember it again. I can come and I say, you know, I am weak. I am a sinner. But I love you. And thank you that you first loved me and you died for that sin. And I don't have to go through different cycles to make the relationship again. If I stay in a sin, God will correct me. He will never punish me. Because I am his child. He will correct me because I'm his child. And he will grow me up. He will not leave me in a mess. But if I am walking and looking at Jesus, I will not enjoy the mud of the sin and the dirt of the world, but I will be able, even when I am at a weak point, to rejoice in him. And that's what people in Czech Republic need to hear. Because when they hear about Christianity, their picture is, you basically are this sad person who have to go regularly to church, and you all the time you are reminded how you are not good enough, that you have to obey that. It's not true. In the Sunday school, we were reading about this, and I will finish because I think the time is over, about the greatest commandment that they asked Jesus. They were trying to trick him all the time, and Jesus was above them. So they were asking, what is the biggest commandment? And he said, love your God from all your heart and all your mind and soul and power, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that was some of the Old Testament. And that's still true. Except we still need to remember what is the first love. The first love is that God loved us first. So we are not measure of the love. Sometimes we think, I even read a book, which was kind of weird, that we need to first love ourselves so we are able to love others, because we're supposed to love others like we are loving ourselves. So if we don't love us ourselves, we cannot do that. That's completely misunderstanding what he's talking about. But to put somebody ahead of us, it's still not enough. What the New Testament is calling us is saying we should love others the way God loved us through Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. I mean, John, when I look at back in John, he's saying that this is how we got to know the love. This is how we have come to know love. It's chapter 3, verse 16 in 1 John. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers. So that's how we know love, and that's what love is. Life is self-sacrificial. Love is not loving beautiful picture. Life is not loving the best choice. The love is actually not thinking about ourselves, but thinking about Jesus. And because we know that Jesus was thinking about us when he was dying on a cross, he wasn't thinking about that himself. he was dying for us. Then we can the same love others and be willing to sacrifice ourselves. So that's the picture. Even when we are loving others, we are actually showing the love of Jesus, which we received freely. So pray for us that we would be able to do that in Czech Republic, that the people would see in us Jesus, even in our kids. Sometimes they misbehave. I guess we are always arguing if it's the Czech part or the American part, which is... I think it's just when you put Czech and Americans together, it's interesting outcome. So thank you again for your prayers, for your support, just for the patience, just to listen to my broken English. And when you remember us, remember that you are loved by God, that we are loved by God, and we are trying to share this love with the people in Czech Republic. Thank you.